from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the living room for 7 hours, all yell out an NFL player and somebody yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn, and somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
His name is it Matt Rife, Josh? Is that his name, the comedian? Matt Rife, I think?
No, I know that guy, but that one's not him. Let me get the name of him. This guy's just as funny, though.
Okay. Jeremy and Joe.
From it was John funny, Fisher. Whoever it was.
It's yeah.
I just heard screaming after Eric Decker.
Right,
okay.
Eric Decker.
Like, what?
Minnesota. Somebody nailed it. Somebody got it. Okay. Hey, good morning from St. John Fisher, Jeremy and Joe, live from practice once again. And coverage of St. John Fisher is brought to you by, presented by, Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. We got some Olympics to chat about. In football, there are three things happening. One, practices.
Yes.
Two, Madden ratings. Three,
yes.
The NFL's top 100 list.
Mm-hmm.
I got bad news for you, Joe.
What do you care more about, the NFL top 100 list or the Madden ratings?
The NFL top 100.
What's more accurate?
Well, the NFL top 100 list is the players voting on who they think the best players are.
Right. And the Madden ratings are
nerds.
People hired by EA, nerds. To crunch
numbers.
Hey, tell us who the best. Not even that. Well, I guess. Who are the best players?
Gabe Davis is the same overall as Puka Nacua in Madden.
Okay, don't love that.
Puka Nacua, who made an appearance in the NFL's top 100 at number 33. Anyway, here's the bad news for you. And by that I mean good news. It's going to be, you know, we should get a weather report now where someone like a Pat Hammer comes on and says, okay, the forecast for takes in the NFL today is hot. It's going to be a hot day out there. Uh-huh. Why? What happened? Well, see, coming in off of the Midwest here, we have that I'm looking at Tua Tagovailoa was ranked higher in the NFL top 100 than Joe Burrow.
Wow.
Oh, storms on the horizon.
Yeah. That is going to be
the NFL world.
Content central today.
Strap yourself in.
Yeah.
It's going to get intense today.
When all those TV shows start waking up in 3 hours.
Oh, good,
it's
good
gonna
night.
It's going to be, yeah,
Tua.
Hellscape.
Tua, number 36.
Wow.
36.
36
ranked
best player
36th
in the NFL.
By the players.
Mm-hmm.
Again, anytime there's a ranking system, you get mad at who does the rankings and say, you don't know football. Here are the players. Ooh, are they in on a ball?
Listen, he's only 36 because let's just be honest, all the Dolphins put him number one. That's the only thing that happened.
There are an awful lot of Dolphins on this list.
Right. Yep.
And an awful lot of former Bills on the list as well.
How many does every player, all 91 players that are on the Bills roster, they all get a vote?
I don't know how it works, but
is it just
sure.
the 53 that ended last year on a roster? Who gets the vote?
It's a great question.
I want to know, because now Tua is above Joe Burrow, which, if we're being real, there's a very simple explanation probably for that happening that will probably largely go ignored today, which is just that Burrow got injured, right?
Burrow got injured, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Rodgers got injured and faded to 92.
Yep.
Usually you get injured, you fade. Jordan Love is also ahead of Burrow. Not a big surprise, but he played 8 nice games, 10 good games. Whatever. Tua, 36. It's a good thing Miami got him signed before this news. Otherwise, you know, could have driven that contract way up.
Yeah. The first thought I have, because especially the injury part of the top 100 and how that affects guys going down, it is kind of stark that you look at last year and going into the year, what would have been the number one thing that would have been questioned about Tua? Even maybe beyond, is he actually even good?
Can he stay healthy?
Can he stay healthy?
And he did.
Because we all saw him lying on his back 2 years ago with his fingers going in different directions, and his brain was just scrambled after getting thrown in a game against Cincinnati, and everybody went, oh, is he going to retire? Like, what just happened to Tua on the field? So going into the year was, is he even going to play? Can he stay healthy? Can he take a hit in the league anymore? Have the concussions broken him? And how did the year go?
He stayed healthy.
Every other quarterback in the AFC, except maybe Josh Allen, get injured?
Mahomes and Allen did not.
Mahomes and Allen did not get injured.
Burrow did. Rodgers, of course, did.
Yep.
Lamar's always
hurt,
right?
Early on in the season, Richardson did.
Lamar's always sick, rather.
Lamar's hurt. Lawrence played for a ton of the year injured in Jacksonville. I mean, a ton. Herbert got injured, right?
Yep.
He didn't even play the Bills game later on.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson got hurt. Everyone got hurt to have played all 17 games. That was one thought that I had about that. Also, he weirdly grabbed the megaphone, I guess, and shouted, show me the money, at Dolphins practice yesterday.
That's pretty weird.
He's having a week.
That's pretty weird that he did that. Got a contract and said into a megaphone at practice, they showed me the money.
Yeah.
I would immediately regret that contract, not for anything other than that moment. Oh,
what did we just do?
We should not have done that.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. So anyway, the NFL Top 100 is out, and it's getting out. We're down to the top 30 that are only the ones to be revealed, but 40 to 31, if you care about this, you know, like Devontae Adams, Joe Burrow, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Tua, Josh Hines Allen. Not Josh Allen. Jordan Love, Puka Nacua, Quincy Williams, and Deron Bland. The Jets have 3 players in this group of 10 on their defense.
Yeah.
And there's Deron Bland, who had all those pick sixes last year, coming to number 31.
Yeah. I mean, that the Jets' defense is the most terrifying unit to the Bills, right? They're the only one that has Josh Allen's number.
They do.
They, for the most part, do. They did not in that second game last year.
You know what?
They otherwise do.
I'm glad you brought this up. When do the Bills play the Jets this year? When's the first matchup? It's not for a bit, right?
October. I should know this because I might be going to that game. I think it's October 14th
in New York.
Yeah,
it's
Monday night.
Deeper into the schedule. Monday Night Football. The Jets will have
Week 6.
A bunch of games under their belt.
Yep.
Because,
and then their second game is Week 17.
Yeah. If you... All right, here's a fun question to start off with. 803-0550. You know, we could say, what is the game you want to see the most? What's the most interesting game? But how about this? What unit matchup to you interests you the most right now? Like the Bills' offense against the Jets' defense. How do they look against the Jets' defense? Last year they did fine against them in the second game at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
The thing about the Jets defense that's always been, last 2 years, has been clear to me, is the Jets line up and play the Bills like they are not at all afraid of any of their weapons. And they would try to shut down Diggs, and Diggs got Sauce Gardner on one play, and the run game, whatever. Like the Bills against the Jets do not fear your Gabe Davis. They're not worried at all about your Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. It's almost like the Jets roll out knowing we have the horses to stop what you've got. And this year I wonder how different that is, right? Because the Bills are obviously approaching things different offensively. If we saw this Bills team against the Jets in week one, I wonder what it would look like. Last year, the season opens, and the Bills' offense against the Jets is a bunch of turnovers, right?
What a game.
Josh is predictable. Josh is careless. They just kind of look out of sorts. They're not sharp to start the season, and then they find their way, and they're fine. But the Jets do find a way to bring that out of the Bills. And this time around, when they play in that Monday night game in October, what's the Jets' record going into that game? The Jets open, Niners, tough. And then Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings. Like, the Jets could easily be 4-1.
They really could be.
They could be 4-1 easily.
Yeah.
And the Bills,
if they don't, you know, implode themselves, because Rodgers is already screaming at teammates apparently in practice.
They'll be favored in three of those four. They'll be favored to beat the Titans, right?
Yep.
Patriots, Broncos, Vikings. I mean, maybe all four of them. If they win those games, the Bills open up Cardinals, Dolphins, Jags, Ravens, Texans, then Jets. Is that for first place?
I think, given the difference in the Jets' schedule versus the Bills, let's say if the Jets get Rodgers healthy all year and their line staying healthy all year, I mean, for the Bills to win the division, they can't get swept by the Jets. They absolutely can't get swept by the Jets. And they
that's a good one.
Do they have to beat them twice because of the differences in the schedule? I mean, and again, that is if the Jets are at their peak.
Right.
Does peak Jets automatically win the division? Like, to me, it doesn't have to, but I think I might need to beat them twice.
I guess part of the question is, do the Jets have a better roster? Because if you're saying peak Jets...
And I think if they all stayed healthy, and that's a part of it, right? The quarterback and the line have had health problems. But if you told me right now they're going to stay healthy on the line and at quarterback, I think I like the Jets roster more. But I don't trust them to stay healthy. That's a huge part of it. For me, it might be a little different. The roster around quarterback, I do like the Jets more. Right now, I definitely would say I like the Jets more. But I am also not just going to assume that if Rodgers stays healthy, that's all they need. I don't know how good Rodgers is when he's healthy. He has not been a superstar quarterback for 4 years. Well, for 3 years. He has not been even a league average quarterback probably for 2 years. And he's coming off a torn ACL or torn Achilles at 40. I'm just not giving him, he'll automatically be right back to what he was before.
I realize that schedule looks now can be a leap because, you know, lots can change. But I just mentioned, the Jets start with the Niners, and that is tough.
Yeah.
But then Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings, then Bills.
Yeah.
And after that, Steelers, Patriots.
Yep.
It's possible that by Halloween, when the Texans play the Jets, by Halloween, if the Jets are peak Jets, whatever. Then again, peak Jets might be a disaster. That's peak jetting. But if they're healthy, if Rodgers is healthy, they could have two losses and be in the driver's seat before they hit the really tough part of their schedule.
Yeah, I'm looking through Allen's career against the Jets. Like, how true is it that the Jets have his number? Like, to me, it's somewhat true.
It's more so than any other team, is it not?
Yeah, for teams he's played more than once. I mean, the number one number that jumps out when you look at Allen's splits by opponent in his career is touchdown to interceptions. Against the Jets, he has 12 touchdowns and 11 picks in his career. It's almost exactly the same. His passer rating against the Jets, like, this is where, you know, 81.5. All right, what is he against New England? 85. You know, like, it's not that drastically different. And a part of that is there are a couple of big games. I mean, we just mentioned the last time he played the Jets, He had 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick against the New York Jets in Week 11. That was Joe Brady's first game as coordinator. Before that, though, you had like 3 games in a row that he really struggled. But then, hey, there's another Week 10 in 2021. Is that going to be Saleh? Or maybe is that one more year of is that still Adam Gase?
Wow.
Whatever that is. Allen in that game, 366 and 2 touchdowns. Like, there's a couple of massive games that give him not that bad of splits in his career against the Jets. But is it the worst he's – yeah, I guess it's kind of true. I guess to some degree, any team he's played more than a couple of times, it's probably the team that's had his number the most, even if they haven't had it completely. Because, again, there have been some boom games against the Jets. But they can line up Sauce Gardner and Jordan Whitehead is the one, right, that picked him off 3 times last year. And that front 7 is elite. Like, I definitely respect that defense a lot. And if the Bills had trouble in the past couple of years with them, and that was with Stephon Diggs, and now I've got a questionable receiving core, like, I'm wonder a lot if they'll be able to win those games against the Jets, even getting to 20 points, if they can get there.
Yeah, that Bills 45-17 game.
Yeah, that is...
I don't remember anything from that.
I don't either. Week 10, 2021.
At the Jets.
At the Jets.
That's not the Barkley game, right?
No, that was
Barkley
earlier.
Lit them up, and that's 2019.
Yep.
Yeah, 366, 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Yeah, what is this? I don't remember this game. Do you remember who started a quarterback for the Jets?
Mike White.
Okay. Is this the game where Mike White gets broken in half by Matt Milano?
No, because this game is in New York, and that game happened in Buffalo.
Okay, I guess I don't remember this
game. Diggs in this game goes 8 for 162 on 13 targets. They were forcing him the ball, apparently. sorry.
Yeah. No one else had more than 3.
Yeah, and Gabe Davis
they scored how many points?
Gabe Davis had 100 yards on 3 targets. Anyway.
That's a Gabe Davis game.
Yeah. Anyway, how do we get talking about this? The Jets. Oh, 3 players in the next 10 of the top 100.
And Rodgers is yelling at his center at practice, apparently.
Yeah. Bills had their first padded practice yesterday, and it was nice. It was good. You know what? I enjoyed it quite a bit. Stayed the whole practice.
Yep.
And we saw one-on-one drills, defensive backs and wide receivers. We saw 11-on-11. You know, I get frustrated for the defense. It's the only time in my life I get frustrated for the defense, because training camp, you know how it works, Joe. We're out here, and someone will say, "So how they look? How the team look?" My wife asked me this question yesterday.
Yeah,
how'd they look? My answer was, "Well, if somebody does something good, that means somebody else did something bad."
Right.
It's really they're playing against themselves, so that's tough. If there's a deep ball down the left sideline and it's connected, do they look good, or did Rasul Douglas get smoked?
Right, yeah. Curtis Samuel snatched some ankles yesterday.
He caught
a diving touchdown in the end zone. I actually don't remember who the corner was.
I don't either.
But on that play, you could go, "Wow, look at Curtis Samuel. What a play." Or you could look at, "Wow, what a bad job by that corner who just completely bit on the fake and then allowed a touchdown down the field."
That play, I'm glad you mentioned it. So the viral catch counter, Curtis Samuel is not eligible for the viral catch counter.
Why not?
It's only for rookies.
It's only for rookies?
It's only for the wide receiver trained rookies.
Man.
Anyway, on that catch, maybe you saw the Curtis Samuel touchdown catch in the corner, which the Bills tweeted out. I tweeted about it like we just got a really nice Curtis Samuel highlight. The thing you won't see from it, and to me this is, it's not exactly like a lie from training camp, but I'm inclined to say something that might sound ridiculous, but the catches, I'm not here for the catches. I'm here to see what the guys do at the top of their route.
The routes.
I'm here to see how Curtis Samuel looks running the route. In the one-on-one drills, the wide receivers and defensive backs we watched yesterday, the catch is the finishing touch on, and he made a really nice catch. You'd like to see him make a really nice catch. It's nice to have good hands.
Yeah.
But Samuel is here to separate. Samuel is here. You're a wide receiver in the NFL. Sure, some guys have better hands than others. But I'm not here to see, can Curtis Samuel make a catch? I bet he can.
Right.
It's, can he beat a guy one-on-one when they know that it's coming? One-on-one, the ball's coming to Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
I'm covering this guy. What kind of moves is he going to throw me? And on that play where Samuel makes that leaping catch over his head and falls backwards, it drew a lot of cheers. We were right there.
Yeah.
I made a noise.
You could see us in the clip standing and watching.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like for a split second. Yeah, you see us in the frame while he's got the ball on his helmet.
Yeah, that's right. Now I see us.
Yeah.
And when that play's happening, I made a noise like, ooh, when he made his cut. He cuts and he got open. Who is that? 40?
It's Jamarcus Ingram.
Okay.
Yeah.
He cooked Jamarcus Ingram on this route. And that, to me, is what I'm looking for.
It's funny. In the clip, you actually don't even see. I hadn't seen the clip
right
now because I watched it live.
You don't see it.
You see Allen throw it, ball is in the air, and that's where the camera's tracking. And the most impressive part was how open was he? Was he 10 yards open?
Maybe five.
Five.
He was open.
Move.
Yes, it was. It was whatever the route is by definition or by name, you know, we're on the sideline.
Maybe it was like a stop and go.
Sure, hitch and go, something like that.
Yeah.
But he shook loose and he was open. And then made a catch to whatever. Allen puts the ball in a spot where he can catch it and he caught it. The separation there was the key part of it. So Samuel, like, a nice play.
And I think we know he can do that.
Yeah.
Like, he's got proven capabilities in that department in the National Football League.
Speed, shiftiness. Yeah, there's a lot to like about Curtis Samuel and what he can bring to this offense.
Like, maybe Shakir is this too. Isn't Samuel, though, the receiver you're least worried about? Like, he's just going to be a contributor in this offense.
Yeah,
doubt. Like, maybe there's a variance on how much, but there's no outcome where he is not a contributor in this offense.
Yeah, that's probably right. I feel confident knowing what he can do. It comes down to how often they throw him the ball. That's the thing. If he's awesome,
yeah,
then I don't want everybody to eat. I want him to eat, right?
Right.
Throw it to the best players. Not everybody eats, but throw it to the best players, which Samuel might have a chance to be. So it is funny, though. Like, it is camp season where, you know, I tweet out that thought. Hey, nice play by Curtis Samuel. And some of the replies are, I knew he'd be better than Diggs. And it's just like, whoa.
You showed me that one, and I'm like,
hold on a minute.
I love the catch. I love the route.
But
it was one route at practice.
Right. I'm begging people, leave a little space between Diggs and other good receivers.
Mm-hmm.
He can be really good.
Yeah.
And not quite be as good as Stephon Diggs was for 4 years here in Buffalo. Whatever. Like, he looks pretty good. Samuel looks pretty good. Coleman. We'll talk about this with Sal. We'll talk about it with Joe Marino today. We have Bobby Babbage joining us, too. Coleman in one-on-ones, not as good, not as impressive, not as separate-y, which, you know, some of the scouting report was that. Jamarcus Ingram, in particular, I saw John Scott pointing this out, tweeting about this from the sidelines. We're standing right there with John Scott from Channel 2, that, you know, in some of these one-on-ones, the defensive back would back off and give a cushion,
right.
And in some, they would come up and press. We watched Kyer Elam, Jamarcus Ingram, you name it, Rasul Douglas. Douglas and MVS going head-to-head a couple times, former Packer teammates. It's like, it's fun. Like, watching fully padded one-on-one drills like that is not the end-all be-all, but it does feel more valuable than watching your wide receiver catch a ball against air in the corner of the end zone,
right.
And it looks like a nice catch. So with Coleman, he made a good play in 11-on-11 later on, coming across the field on Benford, made a catch. That highlight went out there, a juggling catch. But in one-on-ones against Jamarcus Ingram, Ingram had him pretty much the whole day. Which
There was one play.
By the whole day, I mean like for 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
But
there were a couple of different reps, and like one of them, Ingram, like this is the Coleman X receiver conversation, right? Where there are a lot out there like, hey, can he play running the line like this? One of those where Ingram's right up on him, it's snap, punch.
Hard.
By Ingram.
It was a hard punch.
And Coleman almost like falls over and never really even gets on his route.
Yeah.
Like just whoa. Like then he's starting to get out there, and by that point, like it's over. Like you're never gonna get open at that point.
Yep. And that's the thing about these drills. Like you might find that so-and-so didn't do well in this drill. I don't know how many times the Bills are going to have Coleman running this type of route. If he's in press man coverage, he's not exactly the guy that's going to try and shake a guy at the line and run down the field with his speed.
I think you have to do that, though, don't you?
You might want to do that as your X, and like if you're out there, you'd ideally have some of that ability. But
I just don't think so. With Coleman, here's the interesting thing about him. If you look at his highlights and you look at what he does at Florida State, you'll see downfield passes. You're not going to see boundary vertical game from him. Not a ton of it. And that's what these routes were. So, yeah. You know, the receiver position is specialized in a lot of different ways. There's the Z, the X, the Y. We can talk about all that. Then there's, I'm thinking about Matt Harmon's route tree, where the best receivers in football, very few of them have a perfect route tree. Everybody does everything great.
There's like five guys.
Devontae Adams does everything great.
Yeah.
Diggs at one point did almost everything great, maybe everything great for 1 year. And for Coleman, what we saw yesterday in the span of about 20 minutes was a little bit like the 40 time versus the gauntlet drill, where he's not going to stack that defensive back, as the terminology might be, and blow by a guy. But 5 minutes later, he's coming across the field just like the gauntlet drill, and he's open on Christian Benford, playing fast, dragging across. So it'll be interesting to see. That's the thing, is like, he's got ability. There's no doubt Coleman has ability. And this is where, if you want to say it, the controversy comes in, or this is where the next step of it comes in. How do the Bills develop him, use him, play to his strengths to make sure they get the most out of him? Because, you know, watching him get jammed by Jamarcus Ingram and not separate vertically,
who's a much smaller player than him.
That's right. It's not exactly concerning in my eyes, because I don't think the Bills will be asking him to do that all that often. Yeah. They might ask him occasionally. This team did line up Latavius Murray out wide last year.
Yep.
But I do not think they're going to ask Coleman to do that all that much, getting these reps in, getting these drills in. You know, you do stuff you might not do during a game.
Don't you think, though, that probably means he's not a full-time player then? Because that spot, what is the – if we believe Samuel, Shakir are locked and loaded, contributors on this offense, and they're going to be on the field a lot, and they're going to be doing a lot of different things, and a lot of that's going to be short, and a lot of that's going to be in the backfield, and a lot of that's going to be on screens. And if they are going to have Coleman as that other receiver, or whoever that other receiver is going to be, how much are they going to want that guy to stretch the field? Are they going to want that to push safeties deep? Are they going to want that for the clear-out route, even if they don't intend on throwing it? It could be one of those where, right, like they don't even necessarily intend on that being the target, but part of a series of route concepts for guys to get open, you know, this is real deep in the weeds, but if you plan on, okay, I've got Shakir in the slot and Samuel on the next to him, and one of them is going to run 15 yards across the field on like a deep crosser, okay, well, he's going to end up on the left side of the field. What do you need then?
Yeah.
What do you need for that to be open? You need a receiver that's going to push the corner deep and push the safeties deep, playing that other spot. And that is a route, and that is a role that Gabe Davis played for the Bills really for four years. Is sure, he caught some down the field too, but he very often was running down the field, opening things up for guys underneath. That's just a part of the NFL. Is every team has a guy like that. And is Coleman going to be that guy?
I don't think
so.
Or
are they – because then that means he's not on the field as that much. Because that means, well, we're putting Matt Collins out there. Or we're putting MVS out there because the defense will respect that more. And that is the guy that we're going to have. You're going to get off your press coverage and you're going to run straight ahead and get the corner to run 40 yards with you.
We're going to break in. I've thought on this. Like your question about how Coleman is used and
how often he's out there.
Yeah, which is going to lead to – calls. People will call and say a thing that was said on the afternoon show yesterday about McDermott not playing rookies. If Coleman's not seeing snaps, the Bills might, it might be because they don't think he's ready to have that big of a load, but people will think it's because the Bills don't play rookies, which is not true. It's pretty much easy to disprove, but there's still that belief out there, that perception exists. We'll get a break in. 803-0550. Give us a call. Whatever you think, we've taken more calls on swimming than football this week so far. If you have a thought, throw it our way. What do you want to know? Ask a question, offer an opinion, how they use these weapons, all of it. You can join us. We've got wide open phone lines. We'll get to you as soon as you pop in with us. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's just a trust thing. I understand. Joe, me and Joe been together before, and you know, if you've seen how he used me there, you kind of got an idea. So I ain't gonna give out the conversation, but I put all my trust in him to put me in the right spots in the right position to succeed in this offense.
That's Curtis Samuel. This is your sign to draft Curtis Samuel in fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe had interesting numbers he was relaying to me on the field yesterday about his carries.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel carrying the ball, which is something we are seeing here occasionally, whether he's, you know, with the running backs because James Cook is out, or just from the receiver position, he's getting the ball, and that's not giving away state secrets because as a receiver, he gets the ball.
Yes.
In handoff situations.
Yes, he does. He, and some of them like would be reverse plays, but a lot of them in the backfield. Very up and down. So he had 7 carries last year. 38.
Did any Bills receiver have 7? I'll look that up. You go ahead.
7 carries?
Yeah.
In a year?
Last year.
Last year, I bet no. McKenzie would have probably a couple years ago. So 7 last year. 2022, Samuel had 38 carries for Washington.
Deontay Hardy had 4 carries last year.
That was it?
That was it. He led receivers in carries with 4. And yeah. The Bills are about to obliterate that with Curtis Samuel this year.
Well, because, right. He had 4 his first year in Washington after 38, you know, last year, 2 years ago. His 1 year with Joe Brady, his 1 full year with Joe Brady in 2020, Samuel had a career-high 41 carries. Smashing.
41's a lot.
I mean, 10 times, right, what their leading receiver had last year. So, yeah, he's going to be a part of that game as well. Snap counts in the backfield, like he lines up back there and will catch the ball too. So I don't know that he'll play there more than, you know, their backup running back. But, hey, like, there's a Ty Johnson injury there yesterday, too. And immediately you could look at their running back depth and go, huh, do they need another running back? And I'm kind of thinking no in the first place because I don't know if Ty Johnson's even going to miss that much time. And two, Samuel's going to play in the backfield. So between Samuel playing some in the backfield and then two other running backs, one of which is James Cook, who's going to play most of it, like, you're good. You should be good. Those are carries and snaps that he's going to play back there that you didn't have a guy last year that was doing the same thing.
I'm trying to find the last Bills receiver to have 15 carries in a season.
You think it's never happened?
I mean, I'm going
what
back.
Did McKenzie ever have?
McKenzie got to 10.
Really? That's all he ever got to?
That's all he ever got to. The guy that was supposed to be this guy. McKenzie.
Have they ever had a tweener guy that kind of plays both?
I mean, I'm going back here. Joe, I've got Travaris Cadet and Keith Ford getting 20-plus carries.
Wow. Keith Ford.
Yeah.
We're going way back.
Here's Frank Summers with 12 back in 2013.
The fullback?
Yeah.
Frank Summers?
I'm trying to find Brad Smith had 14 in 2012.
And that was kind of cheating because he was like the wildcat guy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's not even really. And he was listed at quarterback, I think, some of those years.
I mean, holy cow.
I bet you they've never had one get above
15 carries.
Didn't T.O. have a bunch of carries his year?
T.O. had 6.
Okay, so that's. I don't. See,
and he ran one for a touchdown.
That touchdown, I saw a clip of it a couple of months ago, and you can't believe how fast Terrell Owens is still moving at 37 years old.
Yeah,
like it is crazy how fast he is moving. He's 7 years older in that clip than like Diggs is right now, and he's still like the fastest person on the field. T.O. is crazy.
I'm back to Roscoe Parrish, who did not carry the ball that much.
Wow,
for the Bills, 2005, Kelly Holcomb had 18 carries. So. The point is here, Curtis Samuel is about to be the kind of weapon in this offense that we,
okay.
Again, like it sounds dramatic to say it, but
yeah.
If I keep going back far enough, I'll find somebody that got 15 carries.
Yeah.
We've never seen anybody like this in this Bills offense.
No.
He's going to get the ball running.
He's going to. That year, by the way, he played with Joe Brady. His snap count by position, he played 399 snaps in the slot, 177 snaps out wide, 70 snaps in the backfield, and then 12 snaps at tight end.
Jeez.
So Brady, that was the year with Joe Brady. Brady had him basically everywhere.
And Josh, do you have that clip you played coming in? Have it again real quick, because listen to what Samuel says about his role. As we lay all that out, about how the Bills have never had anybody do this, and he's played with Brady, and he says like something to the effect of, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but look what happened before.
It's just a trust thing. I understand. Me and Joe been together before, and you know, if you've seen how he used me there, you kind of got an idea. So I ain't gonna give out the conversation, but I put all my trust in him to put me in the right spots in the right position to succeed in this offense.
That's Curtis Samuel saying, like, I'm gonna get the ball all the time. I'm gonna get the ball all the time in this offense. I would be drafting Curtis Samuel in fantasy leagues if I could, and I can. So I probably
what is all the time to you? Is he getting?
He'll get 100 targets.
So,
he'll get 100 targets, and he'll get 30 carries.
That's what. Is there any reason to believe that year with Joe Brady, when he had, let's call it opportunities, 97 targets plus 41 attempts in the ground
so
game?
So 136
opportunities.
Yeah.
Is he going to top that number?
I just laid out 130 easy. 100, and,
yeah.
100 targets and 30 rushes.
I mean, is there any – and also – this is why, like, I kind of half-kiddingly made a bet last week that he's going to lead the NFL in receiving yards. And I know it's just receiving yards. I think he's the one guy in the offense where I feel like I know exactly the level of player that I'm getting. I've got a good, good wide receiver that does everything. Runs all the routes. We just broke down, plays every position. And even that year, which we've gone back to a bunch with Joe Brady, that year in Carolina, he's third on the pecking order. They had DJ Moore, who was very good, and they had just paid Robbie Anderson a bunch of money, and he was in the prime of his career. So he was third. And they had McCaffrey, although I think McCaffrey missed a lot of that year. But he was kind of buried a little bit, just a little bit. Here, there's no burying. I mean, he might be the number one. So, I mean, I'm not going to be... I think a lot of people might be surprised. I bet the fantasy world would certainly be surprised. I'm mentally preparing for him to have 150 opportunities this year.
How many players get that many? Because, again, if you're giving him 30 rushes,
yeah,
you're in a PPR league, you're not getting those points for a catch. But
I mean, let's look at Deebo Samuel. He's Curtis Samuel. He's Deebo Samuel light. I think of every player in the league in the last 3 years
has been Deebo
has been compared to Deebo Samuel.
I mean, Khalil Shakir has been compared to Deebo
Khalil
Samuel.
Khalil Shakir. Everybody's been compared to him. I feel like Curtis Samuel is, of all the people that have ever been compared to him, Curtis Samuel is the closest. He's the guy that gets used the closest. He's definitely lighter. How much lighter is he, actually? Deebo is listed at 6 foot 215. Yeah, he's about 15 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
So, okay, he's definitely not as thick as Samuel is. But he gets used in a lot of the same ways. And what does Deebo Samuel get by year? I mean, he's looking at about 90 targets and about 40 rushes. Okay, so maybe that would be a lot for him. Huh? 150 for Curtis Samuel?
130, I think, is a good number.
130
is a good number.
I'm just wondering how high that could really go.
But when you talk about Debo's opportunities, the Niners are a run-heavy team. And
right,
the Bills,
that's right.
Here's the thing. The Bills might be a heavier run team, but the handoffs might just go to the receivers instead.
And the quarterback.
And, you know.
They're going to lead the league in non-running back rush attempts.
Would that be crazy?
No, I think it's probably going to end up being the case. Deebo, by the way, he did have 1 year when he had 121 targets and 59 rush attempts.
Yeah.
180 opportunities. That was the year where he played like running back at the end of the year.
803-0550. You want to chime in? We're happy to have you here. We can take calls from St. John Fisher, and you can join us. Jeremy and Joe, Sal joins us at 7:30. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. He's been out here this week. We'll talk with Joe. We talked to him during the season, and excited to catch up with him, bring a conversation there. And then Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich coming up at the 9 o'clock hour as well as we cruise through. Another beautiful day. It's been nothing but beautiful in the mornings here at Fisher. Maybe some storms rolling through both Buffalo and Rochester today. Some thunderstorms could roll through, so you know, plan accordingly. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning from St. John Fisher, Jeremy and Joe. I have a Twitter question out there for you. Which Bills player is most likely to be a fresh face in next year's NFL Top 100 as voted on by players? Some good answers here. RoughBuff716 writes Tyrell Shavers. That's right.
Let's go.
Sleep on Tyrell Shavers.
I just compared him on Twitter to the hobo on the top of the Polar Express. He's been up there the whole time. It's the wide receiver train.
He's been here the whole time.
He's getting first-team reps pretty regularly in the last couple of practices, too.
Yeah.
Like, they are...
He's getting the reps I thought MVS would get.
Yeah. Or maybe that we thought Claypool would get, and Claypool was getting a couple before he got injured. And Shavers, is like, he made one catch on, like, a play-action play yesterday that was, like, a 30-yard catch that was pretty nice.
Yep. He also had one where he dropped just off the fingertips in the end zone. You know, you feel like a guy like that... He knows he's close. He's got to know he's close. Bubble guy. How many receivers they have, yada, yada. Like, every catch matters for him.
Is there any – like, him being on the field this year, is that – I don't know whether to, in my mind, to consider that a good thing or a bad thing. Like, in a way, it's a good thing because – he has developed, or maybe you found a little bit of a diamond in the rough guy, because guys like that happen in the league. And the other part of me thinks, you've built a receiver core where it's possible for an undrafted guy like that to win a job.
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily diamond in the rough. Every team's got a guy deep on their depth chart that they're like, hey, we kind of like him.
Yeah.
Right?
And some teams, those guys get opportunities to play, and others they don't.
Yeah. So... who's most likely to see that top 100? The number one answer coming in is Kincaid.
Yes. Kincaid, when the top two, my top two would probably be Kincaid and Terrell Bernard.
I'd like to see Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Oliver's really good.
And he just had his best year.
He has not sniffed the NFL top 100 yet. James Cook could still see this year's.
How high are we? We're
at 39.
We're at 29
and below.
He's not going to be...
James Cook's not making the top 29?
How many running... Who's the last running back that got listed?
Running backs make it like crazy, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing, is always the NFL top 100. Like, if I were to give you the NFL top 100 of last year, and there I gave were, you the running were. Backs that make it, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How many guys make it at running back?
Is it going the same way this year? Like, who's the last... I want to find this right now. Who's the last running back... that made this list. Because, right, like you said, last year there were a ton. Were there 12 last year that made the list?
Here are the running backs that made the top 100 just last year. Only running backs. You said 12. It's Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, and Jamal Williams.
Count to 10.
Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams.
That's crazy. The last running back on this year's top 100 was Derrick Henry at number 49. Is James Cook going to be above Derrick Henry?
Oof.
I might think he's not on the list.
McCaffrey's still coming.
McCaffrey's coming, and so is...
Jahmyr Gibbs?
No.
No?
Breece Hall? Maybe?
I don't know.
But has Barkley been on the list yet? Maybe he will be.
Maybe.
James Cook was like third in scrimmage yards.
That's what I'm saying.
But the idea that NFL players right now, as a group, believe James Cook's a better player than Derrick Henry.
Would be amazing.
I might tell you that I could get behind that, but I can't believe NFL players think that.
Top 100. Sal coming up 7:30. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast coming up at 8:30. He's been here at camp. And at 9:15, we'll talk with Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babbage. It's Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.